Retro Podcast is filmed in Studio Cloud 9.
Hello.
Hi, everyone. Today is Friday, April 26th. How's everyone doing today? I hope everyone is doing well. I hope I find you well, and I hope you got through this week okay with all the stuff happening that we talked about last week. And this week has a lot more things happening. We're going to have Venus moving into Taurus on the 29th. We're going to have Mars entering Aries on the 30th. And then we're going to have Pluto going nappy poo on the 2nd of May. And also, welcome to Astro Podcast. I am Jody Shirami, and this is Astropod underscore cast, my weekly astrology report. Welcome, and if you haven't been here before, I'm an astrology mama and a spiritual warrior. I started doing this about 3 years ago when the pandemic was just beginning, and I've been studying astrology for over 35 years, and I'm a self-taught astrologer. I watch, I listen, I learn from the very, very big-time astrologers we have, like Rick Levine. And also some other favorites that I've named over time. So yesterday, Mercury woke up in Aries. So woohoo, right? Everything's opened up again for traveling, for communicating, for doing things we want to do. Our thought process is going to start getting clearer. Now, it doesn't happen right away. We talked about that last week, right? It's going to, I mean, you're back here to where maybe you wanted to do something on April 1st, and now you're like, oh, now I can do it, because it's at that degree that it was on March 18th, where you might have been thinking about doing something, and then it went to sleep on April 1st, like, oh, darn, okay, so let's plan it for this time, and that's what's happening. So we're starting off Friday with the moon in Capricorn. And today there's a little bit of uncomfortableness, discordance, they say, going on in the cosmic universe. So the moon is having a little bit of flip-flop, do this, do that, and it's becoming a little bit emotionally crazy, you know, like, ah! So we're all going to be feeling a little bit of this, that, this, that, this, that. I don't know how else to explain it. It just depends on where the moon is for you. But for me, if this was happening, because this is the moon in Capricorn, and Capricorn is about structure and holding on to tradition and keeping things going that they love as they were children, which is great. And some of the traditions that we have in our family is that we support Boston Celtics and they're in the playoffs. That's a tradition that we like. And the Patriots, and also the Patriots are done for this year, but they have the draft going on this weekend. So that's a tradition my sons and their dad has started. They're really into the draft and talking about it. And I know a lot of people like that tradition also. And the other tradition is also the Boston Bruins are in the playoffs. So we've been watching that. Celebrations, getting together with family, all those things, that's what Capricorn holds on to. And I have a Capricorn son, who is my son, my third son. And I also have a Capricorn rising. And so I understand Capricorns innately, and they're very sensitive. So even though the moon's in Capricorn, you might think they're not sensitive people. They really are sensitive. They just don't jump from the rooftop and say, hey, look at me. That's not who they are. So these are traditions that we're probably not going to change unless something happens. And, you know, but those are the type of traditions we're talking about keeping and not getting rid of. And so as time goes on here, the moon's going to shift into Aquarius on Monday. And on Monday, that is when Venus, who is in Aries, where she's very uncomfortable, because she's way too aggressive here and may say things and want things that she knows isn't really good for her. So now she's heading into Taurus. Now, Venus heading into Taurus, this is her home sign. Venus in Taurus is very happy. Just like when she was in Neptune, she was very happy. She was in a spa day. But now she's back home after her spa time and after her aggressiveness in Mars and deciding, what am I going to change this year? What do I want? What do I need? And remember, Venus here met up with the North Node, has met up with Saturn and Neptune in Pisces. Venus is now in Taurus, so she's going to get ready to meet up with Jupiter, the Sun, and Uranus while she's here. So she has quite a bit of meetings there. She has to figure out what she's going to say during these times. So she's super happy to be back at home in her kitchen, making herself some nice cup of tea, whatever she's doing. It's preparing herself for these meetings. With this going on, we're also going to feel personally, because Venus is a personal planet, we're also going to feel very comfortable right now. We're going to feel much more sensual. More sensual means you like materials, you like the smells of things, you like the taste of food, the fine wine. As a matter of fact, I had a beautiful glass of wine last night, because I think, since I'm ruled by Venus, my rising sign is Libra, which is a air sign, communication sign. I had a glass of wine last night, and I hadn't had one probably in a week, maybe, or two. So it was very nice, and that's what I'm talking about. But we can put on a little weight also, because, again, Venus is ruled by the bull or the cow. So you can't put on some weight and eat a lot and maybe not move around too much. So that's going to be checked, because the very next day, on April 30th, Mars enters Aries. Mars loves Aries. It was very uncomfortable in Pisces, Mars, because Mars had to kind of sit there and study and be schooled on how to be a good person, how to have peace in their heart, that war isn't about killing, that war shouldn't be this horrible thing where you torture people. So those are the things Mars was learning in Pisces after it just met with Neptune. Now, because Mars was with Neptune here, because it's just left Pisces, and Neptune is at the very end degrees of Pisces at 29 degrees. So when Mars meets up with Pisces here, Pisces is also very introspective and ready for change in helping Mars to see how to use his superpowers to help us all, because it's also a personal sign, to help us all use our energy for good, like to save the planet, to help little kids, to be a good person. So these are the messages coming in from the universe. And so with that in mind, Pluto is going to take a retrograde nap from now until, I believe, December in Aquarius at 2 degrees. It will stop on the second. So as you know, just like Mercury, when it stops, and it's a quick, fast planet, it stops quickly like a racing car. Now, when Pluto stops on the second, it's not like a racing car. It's like a big old ship, or a big old ship in outer space. It's huge. Even as a dwarf planet, its energy is huge. So it has to stop, and then it's going to take a couple days to even get going again, maybe a week or two, because it has to move 2 degrees from now until September 1st. On September 1st of 2024, in the fall, when school starts up again, and everything's going to start to change into the autumn, it's going to be going back into Capricorn, 29 degrees of Capricorn. So we're going to be revisiting what we've been doing since we started moving here when Aquarius came in here on January the 1st or the 20th. It moved back into Aquarius. So before January 20th, all that time, it was at Capricorn at 29 degrees for most of the end of last year. So we're going to go back there starting on the second and rethink about what we might have forgotten or left behind. What project were we working on that we just didn't have time to think about, which I have a couple. So I know I'm going to be using this time to restart a couple of my screenplays and little things like that that I've put on the back burner, because life has gotten busy, right? Very, very busy. And so Pluto is transformation and power. It's completely interchanging you and wiping things out, erasing it, quantum leaping with Uranus, erasing things out that you don't need anymore. Because again, Jupiter and Uranus, their meeting is still active. They're both at 22 degrees of Taurus. And although Jupiter is moving a little bit faster, it's not moving that much faster away from Uranus. So they're still together for this next couple of week or two. And so we're going to start to see how all these things are connected. As you can see, even in the mundane world, in the news, things are getting heated up. There's all kinds of things happening just since last week. And there's some really bizarre things happening that you're just like, what is going on? And that is the Uranus Pluto meeting up and being in play with each other in that square, and things are getting revealed, and you're like, what? I can't even believe that. And then there's people getting what they deserve, like the gymnastics girls finally got acknowledged by the FBI that they dropped the ball on them, and now they're going to get some money. You know, it's not just about the money, it's about their health, their mental health. So a lot of things are balancing out, which is what it's always about, is balancing out. And then Mars is going to sextile Pluto from May 1st to May 7th. So while Mars is sextiling Pluto, meaning having a nice, pretty angle meeting, Pluto's going to start its nap on the 2nd. So Mars now just entered Aries. It has all its power from Aries, because it's super happy here. Psh, 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 zip around. So now that it's in Aries and it's going to have its meeting with Pluto, what do you think they're going to talk about as Pluto starts to go to sleep and move back into Capricorn? And that's the other thing you got to understand, that the degrees that Pluto's at, it's at the very beginning of Pluto. And if Pluto, I mean, the degrees Pluto's at in Aquarius, at the very beginning, the first 10 degrees of Aquarius, it's at its second degrees. And the first 10 degrees of any sign is the air sign that started off Aquarius. So the air signs go Gemini, Libra, and then Aquarius. So right now, Pluto is in the air sign of Gemini, right? The beginning of Aquarius. So it's Aquarius, Gemini, and that's where Pluto is sitting. Now, this is when you get really into the charting and complications, right? And this is not complications, but complicatedness. And this happens in your own birth chart, too. That's why it's good to have an astrologer read your birth chart. Because all these things you get to know, oh, you know, and then your mind's blown. Like, once I started seeing how the charts are read and all these other things involved, I was like, wow, this explains my life so much. Why I'm chatty, why I need energy, blah, 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 why I am the way I am. And so with Pluto being here in Mars, our energy is going to be so powerful to finish anything we want to finish. Because again, you don't want to start anything because the full moon is coming on the 7th. So right now we're supposed to be kind of, again, like a retrograde. As the moon starts to turn, you have to also understand it's going to affect your chemicals in your body, the water in your body. You're like a little tiny ocean when the full moon or the moon comes in, or this new moon comes in, or when it does anything, the moon shifts the tides. And so we're the tide. We shift with the water, with the moon, because we are basically water being held together by this skin that's made mostly of water. The only thing that's kind of structure to us is our bones. That's the only thing that kind of survives when we pass on, right? So here we go. Mars is now ready to move on. So Mars needs to just start to think and plan with Venus now in Taurus, where she's happy, where he's happy. We can get this synergy going between them, where what we want, what we need, what we have energy for, what do we have space in our lives for? Do we want it to be about this, about that? So here we go. We have all these things. We're like a kid in a candy store right now. Have you ever watched children when they're being offered food, like popcorn or candy at a party? You'll see some kids, which represent people, because eventually they'll be adults. And kids are more pure, so you can really see their intention a lot better than an adult. Adult has learned how to kind of hide who they are. But kids, especially like 3 years old at a preschool, you'll see some kids aggressively just go for what they want. Others will hang back and watch. Others will just be polite and wait for the people that want to grab go first, and they'll go in. But there's all different types of personalities, and that's what's happening here with the planets. Everyone's being affected differently. Some things will resonate for you, some things will not. And the more in tune you are with your birth chart, the day, the time, the place you're born, then the more you can understand if something is going to happen to you, right? Good or bad doesn't mean I can tell the future, but I can see from the patterns of your life where it has led you, that I can see from looking at your chart in combination with the destiny cards, in combination with numerology and evolutionary astrology and mundane astrology. I pull it all together, and if I know you well, I can tell from your birth chart what I knew about you was true. And then you'll have to say to me what it is that you want to know. What do you want to know about? Because the chart is like the ocean. You can see in there, but what is it you're looking for in the ocean? It helps to know. Are you looking for an octopus? Are you looking for a seahorse? Are you looking for a whale? Those are easier to spot. See, that's how it goes. So this week, in conclusion, I would say with Venus and Mars at home base, Taurus, and Aries, we are now going to start to feel and see and have our words, our actions match what we feel inside. Things will become easier for us to see for our own selves what it is we need. And then in the collective, we can see what's how it affects the collective. As now we see a lot of people protesting outside colleges, start at Columbia for Gaza, and I don't blame them at all for protesting. It just harkens back to the Vietnam War. During the time I was born was during the Vietnam War in Thailand, in Karat, where there's the Air Force base and where a lot of immigrants that are now in America process through that area of Thailand, which is Isan, the northeast, coming in from Laos. Vietnamese escape came through there. A lot of people came through there, and we all were brought to America. And a lot of us live in the same regions where we were brought back then. Because a lot of the Vietnamese that were brought in the Laotians, they weren't married to American GIs or anything. They came as a family together. And a lot are still in Homestead, Florida, where I first lived when I first came here. And a lot are still in Houston, where a lot of the Vietnamese fishermen met, and there's a huge Thai population there. And now there's a huge Laotian population up in St. Paul, Minnesota. So these are the people I grew up with when I was younger, but I only lived there for 2 years. So I don't remember a lot of it. And then when I went back again, I don't remember a lot of it still because there's so much going on. And I have a couple of shorts I'm going to do about that time. I do remember being there. So in conclusion, this week is the beginning of Pluto in Aquarius, beginning the age of Aquarius. This week is again great for growth. And I wanted to make a note because I happened to run across some Neil deGrasse Tyson, the astrophysicist in America, who's our astrophysicist here. I happened to run into some videos where he's talking about astrology. And so this is what I want to say about astrology. And Neil, he's an astrophysicist, Mr. Tyson, and he's very well respected. Okay. I think that if you're going to speak about astrology, because it's on the minds of everyone right now, because this is the age where people are trying to get out of the age of Pisces, where they feel like, oh, they've been, ruined by religion. And a lot of people have been ruined by religion, but not by spirituality. Astrology is about spirituality. And astrology started a long time ago for royalty. Because the king and queens, when they were born, the priests or whatever the shaman they had at the time would calculate everything to see what the fate of their people were going to be with the new king and queen. So astrology started off kind of as an egocentric art to help the kings and queens rule, right? Using what they perceive to be happening. Okay. But if you look at the Egyptian art, there are giants in there that are helping little people. And so there used to be people that were bigger than us, and they couldn't survive like the dinosaurs couldn't survive. They were too big. Probably had needed too much food or whatever was going on. Who knows? But now we're here. And astrology is coming back again. It hasn't ever gone away. It just got laughed at and put to shame by scientists. I spoke about this before, where the person who invented the telescope was an astrologist who later on, because of his telescope, realized, hey, that thing doesn't have anything to do with this. And he became a scientist instead, dropped his astrology friends, dumped them, said, ah, you guys are just a bunch of quacks. And Mr. Tyson, Neil deGrasse Tyson, our astrophysicist, says that, astrology is just a hoax. It's not real. And he basically said what I said, which is, it's egocentric in terms of it's made for me. The planets, look at my chart. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Right. And like I said, it was meant for the kings and queens, which is ruled by the sun. Leo. Leo is represents royalty in astrology. So yeah, Leos like to know about themselves because that's what they're here to do, is learn how to be a human, how to be a good human, and then live that life for other people to see. They're not like Aries. They're not going to jump in and say, I'll show you how to do it. Leos are fixed, and by the time you become a Leo, you've gained some wisdom. Being an Aries, being a Taurus, being a Gemini, being the moon, who is ruled by Neptune. The moon is ruled by Neptune, which is Pisces. So I agree that the planets do not care about us.
So, yeah, the planets don't care about us. They're inanimate to us. They're up in the space, right? What happens is that, like I say, the moon pulls on the water, the tides, and the same things with the planets. They have a force, they have gravity that pulls on us. And if you see here, the way it's charted in a triangle, that is geometry, that is science. All the angles are science. All the degrees of each planet are science. There's 30 degrees in each sign, which makes a total of 360 degrees around the whole wheel. And now, as you can see, I've highlighted the big square, and you can see with the red lines, those are squares. So a square is just as it sounds. You're in a room and you're bouncing off the walls, and that's what a square means. So these planets that you see are connected are bouncing off the walls, and that's what happened on the full moon last week or so. So as you can see, I also highlighted where Jupiter and Uranus are in Taurus, and they're at 21:22 right before their conjunction on Monday last week, and then now they're at 22 degrees moving along together. I talked about that earlier. And all the red highlighted areas, they have the same degrees. They're all at about the same exact degrees. Same with all the green highlighted and all the yellow that is highlighted. And as you can see, the yellow of Jupiter and Uranus has green and yellow. So now you can see a little bit better how this is so scientific that it's crazy. The circle is 360 degrees. So if this isn't science, I don't really understand where geometry and science came from, if not from here. So again, I'm not trying to discount other people's opinions about astrology, But I don't go off saying things about astrophysicists and what they do, because I don't really know what they do. So unless you really know what we do, you know, I just would like people to stop putting down astrology, because why do you have to? Why is it such a curious thing? Why is it so difficult to have faith and believe in something beyond what we can see? Because that's what spirituality is. Not religion, spirituality. In spirituality, yes, there are people out there that want your money. Come here, I'll read your chart. Listen to me. Even the woman that died in TikTok, who was a huge astrologer, she was super popular. I didn't know who she was. But she was a huge astrologer for a lot of people that don't understand what really astrology is about. It isn't about the ego, even though it appears to be about the ego. And the people talking about astrology aren't egocentric. We just have had this awakening because of our trauma in our life, that we want to help other people to avoid these same traumas. That's why I call myself Astrology Mama, because I realized I could help my kids a lot if I learned all about their astrology and started looking into that and had their birth chart done and all these things. So you either believe or you don't, but you don't have to bash other people and make fun of them, because this is what we're trying to get rid of. This is what Pluto in Aquarius is trying to get rid of, exactly. And as it moves back into Capricorn on September 1st, it's really going to be the last time it's here for a long, long time. And it'll be the last time it's there in our lifetime. So really, we are very privileged to be moving into the age of Aquarius during this time, being the first people, the pioneers. That's why Aries is so important right now, because we need that spark of energy that only Aries can give us. And Aries is a cardinal sign. And a lot of Leos have Aries placement, so we have the combination of both. I sometimes, with the Aries moon, will act on that. But most of the time, my Leo is fixed, so I know I have to sit and wait a little bit longer for things to come to me, because it's harder when you're a fixed sign to accept change. So that's why Aries in me helps me to not be like other Leos. And the Virgo in me is mutable. Virgo's a mutable thinking Mercury sign. So here we go. And that's probably all I have to say about that. I'm defending astrology. I am a spiritual warrior, which is what Venus in Aries just came out and getting ready to go ahead and turn her home sign. But right now, she's definitely defending her territory, okay? And again, Venus is exalted in Pisces as Neptune, higher, highest octave, the spiritual realms. So Venus here in Taurus will be bringing on more of that spiritual love that she learned while she was in Neptune to help us manifest mundane reality things that we want, like a new car, a new house, a nice husband, a nice friend, all these things. And not all of us want the same things, and that's the beauty of the world, of the cosmos. We can see all those stars, and we can think, we are a star, and we can believe, and we can dream. So when your science comes in and tries to cut people's dreams and their need for something other than their worldly views, it seems to really defeat the purpose of any science attacking another science. So that's how I feel. I'm sorry, Mr. Tyson, that you had to feel this way. I respect you, you know, but I'm sorry, but you have to pick on astrology. So that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week. I appreciate you guys. Sending lots of love and kisses. Mwah!